morning. It's good to be back. Imitating Christ's humility. If you have had any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider yourselves, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Let's join in prayer. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for the richness of your goodness towards us. We thank you that through this week you have been preparing us to once again hear your voice. And so Lord, I pray that as Ron speaks, that in his words we would hear your word. Through his voice we would hear your voice. That you would speak to our hearts and our minds. That you would touch us and change us. That you would comfort and challenge us. All these things so that we might be more like Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning, church. It's great to be back. I've come from far away, from Epsom. And I want to say that I've struggled with this passage for today. But it's been a good struggle. On Tuesday, the parish council had a meeting. And this morning's theme is on unity. But the parish council had a meeting. And there was a special unity amongst the parish council members. God's Spirit was breathed upon the council members, and miracles started to happen, and we were swept away by God's Spirit. And so I must apologize that although the theme says unity and joy, I'm still stuck in the unity part. The joy part will come on another Sunday. The heart of this letter begins in the previous chapter, chapter 1, verse 3, with Paul's thanksgiving for the Philippians. And it gives us a glimpse into Paul's heart and shows why he loved this church so much. And I think it's important for us to hear that his relationship with this church is so important, I believe, to where we're heading as a church. And he says this, I thank my God every time I remember you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul expresses his gratitude for all that the believers meant to him. He remembered his friends, which led him to thank God. And this naturally led to joyful prayer on their behalf. And then we come to chapter 2. Paul continues to show his love for the church by teaching them how to behave towards one another. And he's leading them to unity. And it's unity for a purpose. Verse 2 of our reading says, working together with one heart and purpose. When the church is united, it will accomplish that purpose. And there are three purposes for the church. And the first is to worship God. The second, to build up the saints. And that's you. You're the saints. And the third, to spread the good news. And this, in turn, leads to glorifying God and building up the body of Christ. And as Jesus said to his disciples in this very important verse, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. John 13, verse 35. So, unity. To achieve unity, Paul urged the church in Philippi to, one, not be selfish. And this is so hard to do. Our society is a very self-oriented society. And the question that's often asked is, what's in it for me? Or, how will I benefit from this? When perhaps the question should be, how can this benefit the kingdom of God? We need to spend less time thinking of what the church can offer us and more time asking God what we can do for his church. Self is all about the individual. But the kingdom is about the body of Christ. As Ephesians 4 verse 4 says, we are all one body. The church isn't made up of disconnected people. But if we allow ourselves to become selfish, then we end up doing our own thing. And we end up doing this. We want to do God's work, but not with brother so-and-so, and not with sister so-and-so. And when we do that, we're really not accomplishing anything for the kingdom. Paul is saying we must work together to accomplish God's purposes, which leads to glorifying God. And that's our ultimate purpose, glorifying God. So that's the first thing I want to draw your attention to. The second is to be humble. Now, I know that the majority of you here are humble people. But in this sense, humbleness, Paul's talking about thinking of others as better than yourselves. God isn't interested in people who think that they're great. 1 Peter 5 verse 5 says, you younger men, we've got some younger men here, accept the authority of the elders, serve each other in humility, For God sets himself against the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Thinking that we're better than others actually destroys the unity of the church. And in verse 7, Paul writes, he took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. He took the form of a servant. He demonstrated his servanthood through the greatest event that ever took place, his sacrifice on Calvary. And yet, it was utter humiliation for him. This was a completely new concept with Christ. Before the time of Christ, humility was never considered a virtue. It was a sign of, can anyone tell me, it was a sign of, starts with a W, weakness. A sign of weakness. But Jesus taught us the power of humility. It's a powerful tool which helps keep the unity of the church. James 4 verse 10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. It is through humility that you will find exaltation. It is humility which allows you to do the greatest things of the kingdom, for the kingdom. So that's number two. Number one, not be selfish. Number two, be humble. Number three, be interested in others. Be interested in others. And here we move back to the concept of selflessness and teamwork. The church really is not a one-man show. The kingdom of God isn't about what you're doing or what I'm doing, but it's about what we're doing together. We each have our own function in the body, but we cannot just do our job and forget everyone else. Paul urges us to take a genuine interest in other people. Jesus, he considered others. He never had a perspective where he only looked at what he was doing, but he saw everything in light of God's greater plan. And we must mirror this concern for people. Our concern for people mirrors God's concerns, and that glorifies God. It leads us to help build up the believers, not out of criticism, but a genuine desire to help them. And a genuine love and concern for people. This is the beauty of this. A genuine love and concern for people will attract unbelievers who are searching for acceptance. Pray for others and begin by thanking God for them. When was the last time that you prayed for individuals of our faith community? Yes, we have a prayer chain, and there are people that we need to pray for, the people who are sick. But apart from that, when was the last time that we prayed for individuals of the church randomly? Just going through the directory and just praying for some of those people. Thank God for the role they've played in your life, whether it be small or great. Thank God for all they've done for you and for the good things that they've done for others. Even if you're having conflict with that person, thank God that They're giving you the opportunity to grow spiritually, to learn forgiveness, and to be more patient. Paul has been urging the church to strive for unity of the church. But at this point, I also want to say that as individuals, we too need to be encouraged to do this good work. We each have a personal challenge in accomplishing what God intends for us to achieve. Did you know that God has a good work that He intends to use in your life and mine? Did you know that? Nothing will block the accomplishment of that divine purpose. You see, God wants all His children to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, and He will not rest until that good work is finally finished. Now, I may not look like much, but what I do know is that God isn't finished with me yet. And when you look deeper into your soul, you may not like what you see, but no matter. God isn't finished with you yet. There is only good news in this truth. Since God isn't finished yet, we have great hope for the future, and He won't let us stay as we are today. He's going to keep chipping away at us until we are conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, some of us, admittedly, have a long way to go. But there are some who have an enormous distance to travel. But it doesn't matter. I would rather be 1 meter from hell heading toward heaven than 1 meter from heaven heading toward hell. Direction makes all the difference. If you find yourself in the muck and mire of personal despair, be encouraged. O child of God, He's not finished with you yet. Rise and walk, my Christian friend. God is not finished with you yet. You see, God guarantees the outcome of His work in you. Not only does God start, then continue the process, He guarantees its ultimate outcome. He will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And this means that God won't be turned aside by difficulties of any kind. Someday, you and I hope not at the same time, you and I will stand before Jesus Christ as redeemed children, holy, blameless, and complete in every way. We're a far sight from that today, but a better day is coming for the people of God. What is incomplete will be made complete. What is unfinished will be finished. What is lacking will be made full. What is broken will be fixed. What is hurt will be healed. And what is weak will be made strong, because God has promised this. Has God then begun a good work in your life? Because the church needs you. This is part of the unity that we need in our faith community. Do you feel incomplete and unfinished? Because fear not, child of God, He will complete His work in you. conclusion. When we are unselfish, we glorify God. We truly build up the body of believers. And we're able to reach out. This is the beautiful thing. We're able to reach out to unbelievers who are attracted, get this, who are attracted to our selflessness. Doesn't that sound exciting? Our genuine work that is not done to impress others leads to a balanced body where the necessary things and not just the glorious things are done. And this creates an atmosphere which also leads to the purposes being fulfilled. Humility glorifies God. It not only gives us opportunity to build up others, but also others to help build us up too. And humility allows us to accept sinners and lead them to Christ. Let us pray. That why silly silly is here. Womato wifuatu lo feel nitula. Womato la mona le pai mailo wanganga. Heavenly Father, we are thankful. We are thankful that through the unity of our church, you give us an opportunity to fulfill your will. Help us to do just that. Help us not to be selfish. Help us to be humble. And help us to glorify you in what we're doing here in Greyfriars. Bless us, we pray. In the blessed name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.